תפילת החברים. בורא יקר
ו... The prayer of the friends. Dear and beloved Creator, put in our heart to see the virtue of every friend and aim our heart toward one heart in which you can dwell. Please help the friends to always be connected in prayer to you, in order to give you contentment and spread your light to the whole world. And we read. Yes, we're continuing with the same excerpts of living in a world of intentions, which is the most important thing for us. Everything is measured according to the size of the intention, and the person receives everything according to the measure of his intention. This is how he connects with the Creator, reaches adhesion with the Creator, and so on. It is all according to the person's intention. So let's see how do we arrange the intentions.
Excerpt number 4. If a person's intention is only to bring contentment to the Creator and not for his own benefit, he does not mind the amount of pleasure. He only looks at the amount of passion with which he wants to delight the Creator. Since through the yearning to delight the Creator, he causes equivalence of form at the root of his soul. This, in turn, causes more abundance to be drawn, since the upper one wants to give more than the lower one wants to receive. And only vessels of bestowal are missing. It follows that by overcoming in bestowal, great abundance is extended. For this reason, we need not ask to have great lights, only to try to have big vessels, which are vessels of bestowal.
What
does he write that specifically yearning causes equivalence of form?
Yearning to bestow to the Creator. Not to receive anything, but to bestow. Yearning to bestow causes equivalence of form with the Creator because the Creator is entirely to bestow.
Isn't it enough to just have a desire to bestow? You need to have a yearning to bestow to achieve equivalence of form?
Yearning is seemingly an addition to the desire. When I don't quite have the desire, and I want to increase it, I want to have it, this is called yearning.
And this specifically causes equivalence of form. Without it, you can't have equivalence of form. If I have a desire from the environment, let's say.
No. A desire and yearning. Yearning testifies to the vector, to where you're drawn to.
And
the desire itself is something which is general. Again. Excerpt number 4. If a person's intention is only to bring contentment to the Creator and not for his own benefit, meaning he's aimed only towards that, to the Creator, to give pleasure to him, then he does not mind the amount of pleasure itself. It doesn't matter what pleasure he is receiving, but rather how much can he bestow. He only looks at the amount of yearning with which he wants to delight the Creator. Meaning, how does he measure his state? How much does he want to delight the Creator?
Since through the yearning to delight the Creator, he causes equivalence of form at the root of his soul, in the Creator. Then the Creator feels how much the Creator's intention towards the person and the person's intention towards the Creator equalize to a certain extent. Since by yearning to delight the Creator, he causes equivalence of form at the root of his soul. This then gives him contact with the Creator. He has connection with him. This, in turn, causes more abundance to be drawn. Since the upper one wants to give more than the lower one wants to receive. And only vessels of wisdom are missing in the lower one. It follows that by intensifying his bestowal, the person, great abundance is extended. Great abundance extended from the Creator to him, because by this he opens up his lack. For this reason, we need not ask to have great lights, but only to try to have great vessels, which are vessels of bestowal. And then certainly the great lights will be revealed in them. I don't understand exactly what you mean. I need to invert my desire to be in order to bestow, that is, to build above my will to receive an intention in order to bestow. That intention I have to direct it to the Creator, that I want to do everything for Him. I am sitting next to the table with the host, and I'm only thinking about how can I delight him? By which actions, by which quantities which I will receive from him, it is all measured only according to how I, myself, can delight him. This is my calculation.
In terms of attaining to the Creator,
the most important is the yearning. That is, how much I, above my ordinary desire, yearn. I want to come closer to the Creator. I want to give Him. I want to fill His passion, His yearning to give to the created beings. This is how I measure my vessels. I turn to the Creator and I search for how can I delight Him? In which form, to which measure, in which manner, which style, how can I delight Him?
Доброе утро, Рав, мировой кли.
Morning, Rav, world kli.
Заметно постоянно, что не для себя мы
we notice
против этого можем работать.
Find that what's not for me. I see it and I can work against it, but to delight the Creator, something so imaginary, such an illusion. So, blur. I don't even know what to lean on. I think maybe I'm making a mistake. I'm imagining something. What is this work to build a vessel to delight the Creator?
Do you have children?
Yes.
Yes.
You do.
They're
grown-ups. I realize they're grown-ups already, but that's not an issue. Can you imagine to yourself that they are small and you want to give them something, you want to delight them somehow so that they will enjoy from you? You can depict that, right? So that's what I'm talking about. That you look at someone and you're searching for how can I delight him?
How can I give him pleasure? How can I make it so that he will be happy out of me? This is what it is, this is about. We, by that, open up the tap, the line between us and the Creator. And then he can give to us. Because then the pleasure that we will get will be in order to bestow. Because we will receive it, receive this pleasure only in order for the Creator to enjoy. This is why, to the extent that I can think about the Creator that he will enjoy, by that I give him the possibility to give to me. And then we are in equivalence of form. This is called I to my beloved and my beloved to me. I and the Creator give pleasure to each other, and the reception of the pleasure and the giving of the pleasure have the same weight, the same importance, because it is all in order to bestow.
Скажите, вот здесь написано, что стремление доставит наслаждение.
It says that yearning to bestow to the Creator causes equivalence of form in the root of his soul. How do you understand it?
That just like the Creator is entirely to bestow, that's his nature, he's the force of bestowal, so the created being, the person, is now working in the same style in order to bestow pleasure to the Creator. That's it.
And
this is what we have to reach. This is called the measure of your love to the Creator. And to that measure, you feel His love towards you. And then these two forms of love, His to you and yours to Him, they connect together. And a coupling is made, a connection with the Creator. Such a coupling, such a connection with the Creator, a complete, great connection, this is what we have to reach. This is called the end of correction.
I want to bestow to the Creator, and I check my desire toward the friends.
Yes, you can do the same towards a friend. And by that you will be performing the right exercises, practicing, in order to later on connect in the same way with the Creator. With your friend you have no problem, you are with him face to face, the two of you want to reach the revelation of the Creator, adhesion with the Creator, love for the Creator, and this is why you should do such exercises with each other.
It's not the goal, it's only the means.
It's a means to reach the same relations with the Creator. Latin 12.
Hola, Rav. Gracias.
¿Cómo
puedo
Thank you, Rav.
Anhelar esa alegría,
How can I yearn to delight the Creator when the path
y se despiertan rechazos internos que no
along the path with the friends I have all kinds of inner resistances that don't allow me to yearn for the Creator to push me away from him. Of course,
how to overcome that? This is a big problem. This is our whole life. Until the end of correction, we will feel resistance to it in a way that is more revealed or less revealed. However, this is our whole life. Our entire struggle is against that obstruction, that we don't want to think about the Creator. We don't want to yearn towards Him, to give to Him, etc. This will be until the end of correction.
Again.
Yes.
Caro
Rav,
il Borè è tutto, ma gli manca la mia intenzione di dare.
The Creator is everything, but he lacks my intention to bestow. Is this how I should think?
in order for him to be able to give, he needs desires that will receive from him all of his benefit, all of his revelation. Because what are we going towards? We are going towards the revelation of the Creator.
So
we have to reach a state where we will have the force of bestowal as he has it. This is what we're working on.
Good morning. My question is, what to do when we come to a realization that I don't even have the yearning for bestowed to the Creator, the contentment, that I'm totally opposite to it? Thank you.
Of course. Of course it's the other way around. All of your desires, all of your intentions, it is all only to receive and to bestow, and even more so to the Creator, that you don't feel Him, and deliberately you don't feel Him. This is how it was done on purpose. Why was the concealment done? Because if we could see whom we were bestowing to, we would have no problem to bestow. He is great, you depend on him, he is everything, he determines each and everything. So of course you would be running towards him with your will to receive, your egoistic will to receive. And you'd be serving him and doing everything, you would have no problem. However, because the Creator is concealed, right? So you don't run towards him. You don't feel that he is great and he manages everything and you depend on him on each and everything. And then you and him are truly far away from each other. The extent that you want to come to him, to serve him, to give him contentment to him, not to yourself, to that extent you will feel how you're coming closer to him. So try. Otherwise, it's not going to work. Discover the Creator, it is possible only to the extent that you will bestow to him as he wishes to bestow to you. And to bestow means to his benefit. So that everything that you do, you will have in that the intention, which is to his benefit, to his good. That the most important thing is that we should be thinking about the vessels, vessels of bestowal, that I will have great vessels, and then by that I will be able to receive lights in order to bestow, and by that I will give pleasure to the Creator. And I will feel in this exchange of pleasures, him to me and I to him, that we exist. Just like I am opposite. Repeat it. We need to bestow to the Creator in order to receive pleasure from him, so that by that we give him pleasure, we enjoy from him, right? And then to that extent, we are in adhesion with each other. We need to be concerned about the lack, that we will have a lack to bestow to the friends and later on to the Creator. As it is written, from the love of people to the love of the Creator. This is what we should be working on. To the extent that these deficiencies will become established within us, then we will also be able to advance towards their implementation, that I will want to bestow to the Creator in actuality, meaning in actuality to receive pleasure from him, because by that I give him pleasure, contentment, and then my reception from him will be as bestowal. Because I have no possibility to give. I can only give him my attitude.
my relation, which is called faith above reason, bestowal, an attitude, but my desire remains a will to receive. So then I activate my will to receive to the extent that I'm able to activate my relation to the Creator. Meaning, according to my extent of love to the Creator, this is how I open up my will to receive.
Yeah. I
want to ask about what he writes at the end of the excerpt. You can ask only on the vessels. Our intention, is that a vessel?
Our intention, well, not our intention, our goal is to develop vessels, vessels of bestowal, deficiencies to bestow. And with the deficiency to bestow to the Creator, he will be able to give himself his light.
But the vessels, they determine what happens with the desire?
Yes.
Because in the desire, seemingly, we have no ability to do anything, according to what he writes.
No, but I, in my work, I want that my will to receive will work under the intention to bestow. The desire remains. Let's say, I'm hungry. I have some room to receive, right? However, I cannot receive because I, let's say, am ashamed, embarrassed. I don't have the intention to bestow. Now, through the intention to bestow, I open up my belly, my desire, and by that I can receive. However, my pleasure will be only out of the fact that I am filling the host. I'm giving pleasure to the host, meaning I have pleasure out of my eating, and this pleasure is not felt in me as pleasure out of eating, but out of the fact that by this I'm giving pleasure to the host.
So again, I'm trying to understand vessels of bestowal. To ask for vessels of bestowal is the intention? That's the intention you add to the desire?
There are no vessels of bestowal. It's just the way we speak. There are vessels, a desire, a deficiency, vessels of reception. However, when we work with them in a style where by me working with my deficiency to eat, however, in order to cause contentment to the host, then it is considered that I'm creating vessels of bestowal.
Yes? So how does this transition happen in a person from chasing to trying to change the desire, and you cannot change it, to start to work on changing the intention?
Because I think about it all the time. How do I establish within me the intention to bestow? By what do I implement this intention to bestow? Then I have two things here. Working on the intention and working on the implementation. Working with the intention is in that I build the intention to bestow to the Creator, and the execution, the implementation, is in that I check myself already. How much can I open up my vessels, my belly, let's say, in order to start to fill him? Fill it with some filling, with some tasty, pleasant things. However, so that I will constantly remain in that, I am actually bestowing to the host.
What determines your ability to want to be the bestower to the host?
The magnitude of the host in my eyes. The magnitude of the host in my eyes. What does that depend on? On the environment that speaks about it, the society, the books, what I read and what I think about.
Hello, Rav.
Hello.
I can't grasp this picture.
I
have personal relationships with the Creator. He enjoys our connection.
You have to establish such relations. I to my beloved and my beloved to me. You have to begin to establish them. Yes. In what can you give to the Creator, and in what do you think that the Creator is giving to you? We must reach adhesion. Adhesion is expressed through mutual bestowal between us and the Creator.
He's the only one I can turn to. That's clear. I have to turn to him. That he enjoys our connection, I can imagine. But I have personal relationships with this force, that he has vessels and he enjoys, I don't know, my actions, my thoughts, my personal thoughts. That's not clear.
It's not clear. You should read what the Kabbalists have written. You already read it more than once. Just believe that what they wrote, they attained it, and this is why they wrote it. The Creator wants to enjoy from us, from the fact that we will relate to Him in such a way. He wants that.
And
there are no questions here. He wants us to reach Him, to reach adhesion, to reach connection, that we will feel Him, that He is truly filling us completely.
I'm like jumping above the 10, as me and the Creator.
No, you're expressing it only inside of the 10.
A person has nothing to give to the Creator. As it is written, if you are right, what will you give Him? All that one can give to the Creator is the intention called for my name. And there is nothing more than that that He can give Him. Because the Creator has no deficiencies, so He can be given anything. Thus, all that we give Him is the intention.
This means, what can we do towards the Creator? Only ask for a deficiency to bestow to Him. All the rest, He doesn't lack. But only a deficiency to bestow to Him. And this is what we should ask for. This is what we should yearn for and to constantly feel, do I have it or not? Look at a woman who has a baby. How much she's constantly thinking about him, constantly wanting to give to him, to do something for him, right? It's amazing how much nature is playing with a person. So she sits next to the baby, and he's lying there, let's say, in his cradle, and he's sleeping. So she does something a little bit, covers him, opens up the blanket a little bit, does a little bit thing here, a little bit thing there. The baby doesn't respond even, but she wants to express something towards him. So she's constantly has some kind of an inclination, maybe by this, maybe by that, I can give him some addition. You can see that it's truly interesting. I remember that many years ago, Rabash and myself were walking in a park, and we saw the mothers with their baby carriages sitting there, and constantly, she can't just sit still. She constantly has to touch him a little bit, a bit more, a bit less, cover up, open it up, and this is the degree of love that it constantly requires an addition. And this is how we should try to do it also.
Да, дорогой Раф, вот Что это? Вот вы сказали, что я включаю свое желание на сохранность, так, когда вот сохраняю отношения.
That I activate my desire to enjoy when I have a certain attitude to the Creator. What is this incorporation with a certain attitude to the Creator? When I can aim it in such a way, and from that decide if I enjoy it or not.
So if you want to bestow to the Creator, then you already have a question: by what and how much? It's by you doing for him something that he wants. And the Creator wants only bestow. And you cannot give him bestow because if you are righteous, what will you give him? He has no deficiency. So this is why you were created as one of many broken vessels, so that you can cause them correction and fulfillment, and the Creator will enjoy from that. This is why he broke the vessels, and he prepared for us a world full of possibilities to bestow, so that we will have a way to bestow to the Creator, even though we are not capable of bestowing directly to the Creator, but only through us bestowing to the vessels, to people. My question is, where here does the adhesion with the Creator begin? So that out of that we can make the calculations. Because you try to put together such relations with the friends that the Creator will enjoy from that. So that the Creator will enjoy from that. Very simple.
Belarus. Это выражение, если праведен ты.
This expression, if you are righteous, what will you give him? How to understand that? We know that the righteous is one who justifies the Creator. So if I have no complaints against the Creator, is this considered to bestow to him? Rav, indeed you have nothing to give to the Creator besides the fact that you bestow to people and you cause them corrections. And by that, you actually correct yourself until you bring yourself to the complete structure of Adam HaRishon. And by that, through this entire system, you bestow to the Creator. You discover all of the lights of Naran Chai. It says in the excerpt, what does it mean if you are righteous? What will you give him? What does it mean if you are righteous? That you have nothing to give him, to the Creator. He doesn't need anything. He's whole, but rather all his entire deficiency, his lack. What he created is that he established the person, the will to receive, and he broke it to pieces, and by them becoming separate pieces, the Creator's desire, his will to receive, exists between these pieces in the opposite, negative manner. And to the extent that people hate, they reject each other, they're far away from each other, the preparation of the Creator by the Creator was revealed towards the correction. And our whole correction is in that we try to connect between us and to ask of Him that He will create.
Again,
the aspiration towards connection, does it mean that we are delighting the Creator?
Of course, yes.
From PT7, where do we get the fuel, the motivation to only delight Him?
We get it slowly by investing in all kinds of our types of learning, the modes of connection, when we invite the reforming light from afar, and then it influences us, and it brings us such an attitude.
Last
question from Tel Aviv 4. It seems that my main connection with the Creator is only when I need something from Him. What is the correct connection with Him?
Of course, why is it bad when I want something from Him? I want that in addition to what He created, the will to receive, He will now also give me the forces of correction for my will to receive, so it will be in order to bestow. I have the right, the privilege to turn to Him. That's the souls of the created beings. Next.
Women Hebrew, what's the force of intention? What's the power of the intention?
The power of intention? According to the power of intention, we determine the degree of a person, of the created being. That's all. Because we can't change the desire. Our desire is always a desire to receive. But how do we use it? This is called intention. On that depends our height, our size.
PT 14. Is there more than one form of equivalence with the Creator? As one of them is yearning to bestow to the Creator.
Yearning to bestow to the Creator is the greatest thing.
Mach 20. In what actions do we add in order to reach great vessels?
Only the connection between us, it will reveal to us what else are we missing in bestowing to one another, so from that we'll bestow to the Creator.
PT 10. What does the strong intention for the goal depend upon for a person, in his thought or in his, it depended on the others in the environment?
Depends on the environment. Everything depends on the environment. We should read about it again in the articles Matan Torah, Giving of the Torah, and the Arvut.
Latin 13. We have no direct connection with the Creator, so is it enough to just want to delight the friends?
We have direct connection with the Creator, such connection that there cannot be any more direct connection, because to the extent that I connect to the friends, I'm in contact with them. And we combine all the connections between us into one. To that extent, we connect to the Creator. So our connection with the Creator is 620 times pitarach, greater than what we can imagine and attain in this world, as far as the is the Creator, is connecting with the Creator.
PT 6. What is the pleasure that the Creator wants to supply us with?
The Creator wishes to supply us is the pleasure of unity. In unity between us and with the Creator, we attain the essence of creation, the source of creation, the process of creation until it reaches wholeness, perfection, and the result of this process, which is the unification between the Creator and the created beings without any separation. We should also say that all those things are above our matter, above our substance, or above our material universe, above the stars and planets and everything. It's already on a spiritual dimension, a different dimension.
PT 18. What's the difference between joy and gratitude? And can you have one without the other?
I cannot be grateful without joy. I cannot cry and be grateful. They have to be connected.
So to bless the Creator is actually to bring Him contentment?
Yes, of course.
PT6. What is the individual work of bestowing to the Creator, and what's the work of the ten in bestowing to the Creator?
Individual work in bestowing to the Creator cannot be except through, nevertheless, being incorporated in the friends, with the friends, and in this way I bestow to the Creator. Alone, it cannot be. There cannot be one sphira that's adhered to the light. It has to be connected with the other sphirot to organize itself with all the rest of the sphirot with their mutual desires, and then to begin to receive in order to bestow inside these desires.
Latin stream.
Latin 20. What do we need to see or feel from the friends in order to know whether we're truly bestowing to the Creator?
If we're truly bestowing to the Creator, first of all, we have a certain feeling as a result of, along the way, bestowing to people. We make the Creator bestow to them. We ourselves cannot connect to friends by ourselves. We cannot delight them. We cannot fulfill them. We do it through the Creator. That's why it's called from love of the created beings to love of the Creator. I don't love the created beings, rather I wish to reach a state where the Creator is correcting them, filling them, delighting them, and in this way I connected them into the Creator.
To receive it all from the Creator, even if you have to give it back to Him, sounds very tempting. Why do we reject opportunities to enjoy together with the Creator?
We don't reject it. It's the purpose of creation, to enjoy. Both us and the Creator are in the complete adhesion, and that's why we enjoy together. Him and us enjoy together. We are in an embrace, the complete zivug.
But the intention is for him to enjoy, so I don't enjoy.
No, no, I can't delight him unless I also feel pleasure.
Can a person really feel the Creator to such an extent that he can ask exactly what he wants to give?
Even more than that, we can feel the Creator more than what we feel ourselves. And to the extent that we feel Him, we truly feel ourselves and all of creation.
Si je veux aimer les amis, mais que le Créateur ne me donne pas cet amour, quel travail devrais-je faire vis-à-vis?
If I want to love the friends, but the Creator doesn't give me that love, what work do I need to do in relation with my intention?
Should ask Him to give you love for the friends. Because whatever we have in us is from Him, the Creator. If I discover that I have no love for the friends, I need to ask Him. I can't wait to have it. Where will I get it from? Only to turn to the Creator to give it to me. It's a very important question, truly. Think of the answer. I need to turn to the Creator, ask, demand that I get love for the friend, that He would give it to me. Try again to see it in a mother and her child. She has a child that is not hers. She doesn't love him naturally. Then, through all kinds of actions toward him, she gets accustomed to it, and a desire, deficiency, a feeling opens up to him. We have to be exactly like that towards the others in the group. Develop in us a feeling for the friends. Of course, each time we'll receive rejection, repulsion, coolness, and again we have to try and worry about developing it.
Thank you, Rav. Question of Ekbar. Why Creator is always breaking my heart without mercy? Why should I want to bestow contentment upon him?
Because by that you reach equivalence of form with him and you understand that he is entirely in bestowing contentment to you. Now you can see it. Your life is full of suffering. You don't see anything good in it. Where are you getting it all from? They tell you from there's nothing besides him. Now, in order to discover that you're truly under the rule of the Creator, you have to be in equivalence of form with him, meaning that you should also have a form of bestowal like him. Then you'll understand that he's all love and he's all bestowing to you. There's work against the desire.
Six from Rabash. All the actions he has given us to do, and only in order to obtain this aim to bestow. Thus, how can we do the above, since there cannot be coercion of the heart and the desire? Asher Bala Sulam interpreted, which God has created to do. Which God created means that it is about this that man must do, meaning on what he has created. We should interpret which God has created to mean that creation is called existence from absence, referring to the will to receive. To do pertains to the creatures who must place on it the aim to bestow. This means that all that the creatures must do is only to be able to aim to bestow. This is called which God has created to do. This doing belongs to the Creator.
What is the difference between the action and the intention? It's my question to you. Please have a workshop. What is the difference and the connection between the action and the intention? Please.
In a sentence beginning, since we have already proven that the Creator and the Torah are one, and now we have proven that the Torah and Israel are one, it is therefore evident that the Torah and the Creator and Israel are one. From all the above, you find that there are two parts in the Torah and Mitzvot commandments. The first is Torah and Mitzvot commandments as they appear to all, being the keeping of the commandments and the learning of Torah in the form of 613-18 counsels. These have the power to purify and cleanse the body and enhance the merit of the soul to be worthy and fit to receive the light of the King of Life, as was the soul in its root, before it diminished and came to this lowly body in the lowly world.
So this is the first part of our work, that we have to correct our vessels so they are in order to bestow. After we already have restriction, screen, reflected light, when we are equipped with all of these forces and understandings, then comes part two, which is
the second part is observing the commandments and learning the Torah in the form of 613 commandments.
So it's not that there's 613, 18 advice how to achieve in order to bestow, but when we already have forces to bestow, how do we work with them? And then it's called 613 pkudin, from the word pikadon, deposit. What's a deposit? When we already receive the light inside our vessels based on the equivalence of our vessels, our desires to bestow, with the light that is entirely to bestow.
Namely, the matter of attaining his names and the full award of the reward of the souls.
That the light that enters the Kli, as there's equivalence between the light and the Kli, in mutual bestowal to each other, by that we attain these lights, the extent to which they shine the contents of bestowal towards us. And that's called the attainment of the Creator's names.
What does it mean, deposits? Once we have these lights, what more can we do? It's already in the vessels.
No. 613 councils is only correcting the vessels. We don't yet fill them with light in order to bestow. We only install in screens on them in order to bestow. In a gradual way, we rise from state to state, from concealment to revelation. That's how we correct them. But in actual fact, we don't yet receive lights in order to bestow.
And once they receive lights in order to bestow?
That's already gadlut, adulthood. That's the second phase. That's called 613 kudin, the deposit. When we're already receiving the, revealing the light that the Creator appears in us and we're in
connection. וניגוד למה שאנחנו רואים בעולם הזה, שאם אדם לא לומד חוכמת הקבלה, כאילו הוא חי סתם, וחייב עוד פעם להתגלגל לעולם הזה, ועוד פעם לעבור את החיים האלה, מי יודע באיזה צורה יותר גרועה, כי מדור לדור האיסורים...
Because from generation to generation, the suffering grows more... greater deficiencies are revealed, and so as much as we don't study the wisdom of Kabbalah, by that we only lose and we cause ourselves greater suffering for the future. We force ourselves to come back in another incarnation and to revolve again and again in this world. We should continue. Now it becomes utterly clear. The entire part of the revealed Torah is but a preparation to become worthy and merit attaining the concealed part. It is the concealed part that is the very wholeness and the purpose for which man was created. Hence, clearly, if a part of the concealed part is missing, although one may keep the Torah and observe its mitzvot, in the revealed part, he will still have to come to this world again to receive what he should receive.
Namely, the concealed part, in the form of the 613 pekudin. Deposits. Only in this is the soul completed, as the Creator had predetermined for it.
Thank you, Dira. My friend is asking, what yearning should we be in order to achieve the right intention?
That we want to achieve vessels of bestowal. That's the best possible thing. But at the very least, just any kind of yearning we have, we'll work with it for now. New York 4.
Good morning, Rav. Thank you. While the translation was gone and I was just listening in Hebrew, I had more of an emotional impression from from the reading. And when I'm listening in English, it's like activating more of the mind, and then I don't understand what's going on anyways. So is it better to have this emotional impression? Should I listen in Hebrew and try to feel what the text is saying? Or is it better to listen?
You can do it, but not to let go of the understanding. We also need to read and understand what he wants to convey to us, so that the system, the picture of the system will be painted in us. Like he explains to us here, the first part is correcting the vessels of bestowal. Second part, correcting the vessels of reception, so we can receive in order to bestow. And then the light that enters us is called Torah. We need to know all that. We need it nevertheless. But even if you forget afterwards, but when you're reading, you're still organizing your mind and your heart according to what Baal Sulam wants to tell you. So you do have to understand. However, if you have no choice, even with just listening, you will gradually come to understand it without even knowing the language. But that's not such a simple path.
Again.
A question, yes. If I may.
With listening with what Baal HaSulam is saying, and I have no understanding, and I don't even know what to ask, what should one do in this state when he doesn't even know what to ask? It's not clear, and I also don't know even where to begin. So then what should one do?
Lishmoa. Lishmoa.
To listen. To listen. Just listen. I too would sit and listen like a little child, not understanding a thing, and then bit by bit, the connections between the words, the sentences, gradually clarifies. It's like with children, and it's the most natural form of studying anything. So continue, and good luck.
Good morning, Rav.
Buongiorno.
Regarding to what you said before, and what regard the writings to written in Hebrew, I want to ask you, out of the meetings that we do during the day, to bring these writings from the morning lesson and to read it during the day, in the breaks, during what we do in our corporeal life, what's the benefit that could bring us on a spiritual level, please?
Look, in the first part of the lesson, we typically study the quotes. I would recommend reading them again, at least once, maybe a few times, when you have the chance. And you can do it in various order. Because each day we go through three quotes, maybe four maximum. So that's with regards to the excerpts. After that, now we are studying the introduction. After this one, we'll study other introductions. We need to go through these things because you see how Baal HaSulam gives us the essence of the spiritual structure here. Its purpose, the Creator's intention, and that's it. And then the third part is tests. That we just need to review it and have some background. And later, after we have vessels and lights and attainments, then we'll start studying it practically. In the meantime, it's just to kind of get to know what is tests about. That's it.
Bulgaria 1.
Bulgaria 1.
Здесь в тексте Балсвам пишет, что изучение Тура открытая часть.
Балсвам writes here that learning the revealed part of the Torah is like a preparation for learning the concealed part.
Как понять этот?
So how do we understand it?
That we really do need to learn both this and that, meaning both the revealed and the concealed. The truth is these two parts should be connected together. But because humanity, people can't approach the revealed study, and all the more so the concealed part of the study. So those who come to the revealed part stay there and study there, because that makes it clear what it's about. A donkey, an ox, a cow, all kinds of things, stealing, other things. In the concealed part, there's no understanding, and also it can't be explained to a person. He first has to acquire vessels, vessels of bestowal, gradually come closer to the concealed part. And that's the problem. So we gradually have to advance from afar towards the revealed part and the concealed part. Truth is, however, Barasulam writes and explains to us in the introduction to Tess that what we call the hidden part or concealed part is actually the closest part to us when we read and don't understand what it's about. That's the concealed part. The revealed part is later. When we try to advance in the concealed part, then it becomes revealed. So it's not like people think that what we understand and read is the revealed, but rather it's about how much we attain what it's about. So at first it's hidden and then it's revealed.
And therefore see, you can therefore see the utter necessity for anyone from Israel, whomever he may be, to engage in the internality of the Torah and its secrets. Without it, the intention of creation will not be completed in man.
Meaning to those whose heart is aimed to attain the Creator and all His actions, he has no choice but to engage in the internality of the Torah, which is called the wisdom of Kabbalah.
This is why it was said in the Zohar, this is why we incarnate generation after generation to this generation, which is the residue of the soul, over which the intention of creation has not been completed, because they were not rewarded with attaining in previous generations the secrets of the Torah. As is written in the Zohar, the secrets of Torah are destined to be revealed at the time of the Messiah. It is clear to anyone who understands, since they will be completing the intention of creation. And therefore, merit the coming of the Messiah. Hence, inevitably, the secrets of the Torah will be revealed among them openly, since if the correction is prevented, they will be compelled to reincarnate.
Meaning, we have to reach a state where we do correct all our vessels, receiving all of the lights, until we come to the purpose of creation, which perfectly clothes us and fulfills us. It's impossible that all the life cycles end in a way that they're not completed. All the corrections have to be completed, and in the corrected souls, all the lights must enter.
Should I continue? There are questions here.
Continue.
This will explain to you what we should ask about this interpretation in general. for who am I and who are my fathers, that I have been awarded making the interpretation to expand the knowledge of the hidden secrets in the Zohar and the writings of the Ari. Moreover, why have we thus far found no other to interpret this wisdom as openly as I? Now you can understand that because our generation is really the time of the Messiah, and we are all standing at the threshold of the complete correction, and the only prevention is the departure from the wisdom of truth that is present in this generation to the very end, because of the difficulty of the language, of the languages and the scattered matters for one's view without knowledge. In addition to all that, there is the smallness of the mind and the many troubles abundant in our generation. Hence, when the Creator wishes to hasten the redemption of our souls, He has passed a privilege through me to disclose the measure that is in this interpretation, and the will of God succeeded in my hand.
So, he can't say why, but he says because our generation is really in a very pressured state, pressured to the corner, that is, the will to receive for corporeality is great and far from spirituality, and therefore through him specifically came the matter that he can reveal the purpose of life, the purpose of creation and correction of creation to all. And
I did have another reason that brought me to interpret this disclosure, as it is written in the Zohar. One must learn a little bit of folly. As it is written, as the advantage of the light from within the darkness. After I completed my time in the city of Warsaw, in the country of Poland, confined to my chamber, and having nothing to do with the darkness of my surroundings, I have been blessed with settling in the holy city of Jerusalem. When I walked among the people, I indeed saw the poverty of my people, the poverty of their mind. The foolish laughter was in my ears as the crackling of thorns under a pot, mocking and trampling the heart and soul of our yearnings, slandering the Creator, His law, and His people in a loud voice. That there is no wisdom, understanding, or knowledge in the wisdom of Kabbalah whatsoever. Rather, it is an assortment of words and names, no sense and no moral, only literal words. It is a privilege to chatter idle words in the written text with complete faith that they are holy words, and that by this the purpose of creation will be completed upon us. When the number of those who engage in the literal texts with complete faith increases, the Messiah King will come at once, for by this the whole correction will be completed and nothing more is needed. God forbid. Right, so he explains to us what the wisdom of Kabbalah was like in those days in Jerusalem when he came to Jerusalem from Poland. No one would listen. Everyone totally were contemptuous toward it. Until I met.
Finally, I met with the famous ones among them. These are people who have already worn out their years delving in the writings of the Ari and the Zohar. They have so succeeded that they have memorized all the writings of the Ari. They have a reputation as being the holiest people in the land.
They have a name, a reputation.
I asked them, if they had studied with a teacher who attained the internality of the matters. They replied, "Heavens, no. There is no internality here at all, but a literally written text, and not more than that, God forbid." I asked them if Rav Chaim Vital had attained the internality of the matters. They replied, "He certainly did not attain more than we attain." I then asked them about the Ari himself. They answered, "He certainly did not know about the internality more than we do. And all that he knew, he'd passed on to his disciple Rav Chaim Vital, and so they came to our hands." I mocked them. How then were the matters composed in the heart of the Ari without any understanding and knowledge? They replied, "He received the composition of the matters from Elijah, and he knew the internality, since he is an angel. Here I poured my wrath on them, for my patience to be with them had ended."
Okay, what we read now, is this clear? Bala Sulam came from Poland to Jerusalem, and he wanted to find out who was engaging in Kabbalah here, but he didn't meet any people who were really engaging in the wisdom of Kabbalah. So he started asking them who engages, who doesn't, and what is the wisdom of Kabbalah, what they understand about it. And this is what he discovered, that they didn't understand, they didn't know anything about what is written and what the wisdom of Kabbalah is for, why we need to study it, who understands it. Nothing. On the contrary, they told him, "No one understands it. We can read it, but this reading is only in order to just read it, because the people received some illumination from above, so they wrote it. But they too didn't know what they were writing. So we too just need to read it without knowing it. That's it, and that's how we continue." So then he became angry with them, and he stopped any. Let's go.
We'll continue. "When I saw that their folly had been rooted in nearly everyone who engaged in this wisdom at that time, woe to the ears that so hear. Will he even force the queen with me in the house?"
Meaning everyone is confused, everyone is thinking about the wisdom of Kabbalah, something that is totally not what it is.
The Zohar has already mourned bitterly the denial of the sins in their souls, saying that there are no internal secrets in the Torah, as it is written in the portion Vayera, "Has the Torah come to show us fables and historic tales?" Such stories and fables are found among other nations too. Our sages said that they uproot the plantings, for they take only Malchut. What would the authors of the Zohar say when seeing such a sinful culture of people, denying that there's any knowledge or wisdom in the words of the Zohar and the wisdom of truth themselves? They say about the very secrets of the Torah that there is no knowledge and perception revealed in this world, but merely empty words. Thus, they have come to force the Shekhinah inside the king's palace. Woe unto them, for they have caused their souls harm. Our sages said that the Torah mourns before the Creator. "Your sons have made me a song in public houses." but they do not even make of the Torah a semblance of a song, only frightening words to any listener that arise contempt and wrath. Furthermore, they wish to be rewarded like Pinchas, saying that they do this in complete faith. The writing says about them, for as much as this people draws near, with its mouth and with its lips they honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. And this is the reason for the ruin of the first temple. The devil still dances among us precisely at the time of the Messiah, the time of the end of the secrets of the Torah. The zeal of the Lord of hosts came as a fire that will not quench in my bones. Because of it, I have been awakened to disclose the robe to such an extent that they will know that there is wisdom in Israel. This has been among the primary reasons that made me come to this explanation.
You see how burning he is to reveal the truth to all of humanity, because without it, we are living without purpose. We're just accumulating suffering bit by bit until it's revealed naturally. It will be endless more years, infinitely more. This is why we have to draw the reforming light, so it will begin to clarify to us who we are, and what we need to do. And in this way, we will accelerate our development and achieve the purpose of creation.
Sure, then how does he...
I don't understand you. Everything depends on us. Everything depends on us. Everything is in the hands of heaven, except for the fear of heaven, meaning everything depends on man's work. And it's not like a person could just sit like that and wait until the Creator does with me whatever he wants. I'm saying there's none else besides him, and I'm just waiting. He is the only force, so let him work on me. No, I have to go toward him and act along with him.
Но он же понимает, почему вот эти, которые не видят скрытой части или...
But he understands why they are those who don't see the concealed part or feel no fear. He understands they are incapable.
There is no such thing. Everyone must reach his own correction. Everyone. I can't stand what you're saying. It is the worst if a person is certain about the nonsense that he's thinking. Where did you take it from? If you see how much trouble, how much effort... We're still in the ruin, at the time of the ruin.
So I want to ask you, was there any progress since he wrote it, which is about, say, 80 years, I think? Do you see progress?
I do see progress. Yes. The progress is that, after all, you do see that many people all over the world have heard about the wisdom of Kabbalah, and they are studying it, they are hearing it. We are on the internet, there are thousands of people. You see how they do connect, they're studying with us, outside of us. It doesn't matter. In my eyes, the important thing is that they study Baal HaSulam and Rabash. And in this way, advance. Yeah, so this is a great thing. Please.
Author's proofreading. You must see in every purpose and in every goal that it is utterly simple. All the wit, cleverness, and the many issues that form during the preparation until they reach the goal. For example, when one wishes to sit in a house, he needs the wit and knowledge in the form of the design, the form of the inventions, the quality and the quantity of the rooms and the possessions. The final goal is but a simple thing, to dwell there. This is the meaning of the words, according to the beauty of a man to dwell in the house. It's a simple thought, without any philosophizing and without wit, only a simple will. Know that all the sophistications in the knowledge are mostly mistakes that should fall before the truth. Yet the truth itself is simple without any wit. There's a secret in this, that this is the iron wall that separates us from the Creator. There are things that are hidden because of their great height and depth. And there are things that are hidden because of their great subtlety, like flies in the air, which are too thin to be seen. His light is so simple that the human mind, which feels only a tiny portion of an essence, simply does not perceive. It is like the smaller things from the measure needed for an actual tool to see. This is so because although not all of the depth of the height and the depth of the width are perceived, you can nonetheless perceive the proximate. However, with subtle things, it seems as though they do not exist at all, since you do not attain even the slightest bit of them.
In other words, we still have a problem to talk about the wisdom of Kabbalah. Not the wisdom of Kabbalah itself, but about what it explains to us. Because in the end, there still has to be a very fine perception, subtle perception in a person. As the Chazon Ish writes in his book, Faith and Confidence. What is faith? He writes, at the very beginning of the book, he writes, it is a fine inclination from the subtleness of the soul. Go figure out what it means. A fine inclination from the subtleness of the soul. This is faith.
Well,
so what can we talk about with regular people? Only those who are directed toward it and can't do without it and have to attain it, because without it, what are they living for? Why have I come, and with what do I end my life? This is why, for those people who have this inclination, the preparation for it from above, we need to help them find their way through the wisdom of Kabbalah, the method of the wisdom.
How should we move into the meal?
Here, in this introduction, he gave us the introduction to the book from the mouth of a sage. It's an introduction he wrote before he wrote the study of the Ten Sefirot and other things. In other words, here he was still speaking a lot more openly than afterwards, when he had to kind of conceal himself. So I really like this introduction, because here he just he's totally not mincing words. He's going straight against anyone who is distorting the wisdom of Kabbalah, and really good for him. What more can I add? We should read it again. Again, it's an introduction that needs to leave a deep impression in us, like kind of an engraving in our hearts.